Unexpected Journey of Faith by Dan and Tamara Dockstader. Our story of Dan and Tamara Dockstader began on September 7, 1990, when Dan and I stood atop Sandia Peak in New Mexico to exchange our civil marriage vows. Accompanied by a non-denominational pastor, a photographer, and a videographer, we said our I do's against a backdrop of endless sky. At the time, we couldn't have foreseen the long, winding road that would eventually lead us to a deeper sacramental union. Our religious backgrounds were worlds apart. I was baptized as an infant into the Roman Catholic Church and raised in a traditional Catholic family. Dan's childhood in southern Utah was far more complex. Raised within the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, FLDS, he felt a disconnect from their teachings at a young age. Sensing something was fundamentally wrong, he ran away at 15 to escape the oppression of a religion he didn't believe in. After living with other boys that fled the religion, officers associated with the FLDS arrested Dan, and he was sent to work on a FLDS farm in Idaho until he turned 16. He was subsequently given a one-way ticket back to Hilldale, and he immediately left for Price, Utah, where he eventually met his first wife, converted to the LDS faith, and had two children. It is truly miraculous that Dan found true faith so far from the red hills of southern Utah. Life had also brought me through its own trials. My first marriage had been annulled on the grounds of immaturity. I married a second time, first civilly and then in the Catholic Church, but 4 months after receiving the sacrament of marriage, my husband left me and our two children. When Dan and I met in 1989 and married in 1990, we began the work of blending our families. Together we raised his, mine, and ours, 7 of us in total. While my children were baptized Catholic, we weren't consistent in our practice. In 1997, Dan was baptized into the Catholic Church, and though we spoke of me seeking an annulment from my second marriage, the busyness of life took over and we never pursued it. Looking back, we understand we were not good stewards of our faith. The spark of faith was reignited after our children grew up and started families of their own. Returning to church with a renewed interest, we finally decided to apply for my annulment and Dan's Pauline privilege. It is a daunting process with no guaranteed outcome, but it proved to be a profound gift. Regardless of how a relationship ends, there's always baggage. I found the annulment process to be freeing, liberating, and deeply healing. I approached it with humility and honesty, treating it almost like an informal confession. In 2024, the annulment and the Pauline privilege were granted. Even then, we didn't rush toward the sacrament of marriage. It wasn't until 2026 that the importance of receiving this sacrament became clear. We planned to celebrate in October with our friends and family. However, a meeting with Father Marco, the pastor of Notre Dame de Lourdes Parish in Price, Utah, brought us face to face with a difficult reality. He explained that because I had still been married in the eyes of the church during our 35 years of civil marriage, and before my annulment in 2024, I was an adulteress. Since Dan's baptism and my annulment, we are in a state of fornication. The Catholic Church does not recognize a civil marriage between baptized Catholic couples. At first, it felt like a cruel joke. We had been married for over 3 decades. Father Marco gave us homework to seek the truth, and that truth hurt deeply. We were asked to live a chaste life, living together as brother and sister until our sacramental wedding. The emotions were overwhelming: anger, shock, sadness, and frustration. Because we were not living in accordance with church teaching, we were told we could not receive reconciliation or Holy Communion. The following Sunday, I cried through the entire Mass from the first sign of the cross to the final blessing. The realization that I could not receive the Eucharist was devastating. After Mass, Dan and I sat down and reached a mutual agreement. God is more important than 179 days of chastity. While we enjoyed an active marriage, we realized our temporary suffering was nothing compared to the cross. We decided to do the right thing, not the easy thing. We now sleep on different floors of our home, conducting ourselves with reverence for what is expected of us. In making this commitment, our right to receive the sacraments was renewed. The next week, receiving the Eucharist after feeling so lost was a profound experience. The journey continued to test our resolve. We were required to attend marriage preparation, which felt redundant after 35 years. One assignment was a natural family planning session. At ages 66 and 67, that ship had long since sailed. I felt a pang of sadness during the course, remembering the joy of my children's births and feeling, for a moment, old and unproductive. We spent weeks resisting the process, questioning how a mentor couple could possibly offer us anything we hadn't already lived through. But when we finally met our mentors and shared our reluctance honestly, the beauty of the transformation began. We have never had a couple we could talk to so openly about God. It feels natural and spiritual, as if we have known them for years. This process has actually brought Dan and I closer. We talk more now than we have in years, discussing forgiveness in a healthy, grounded way. I have to give credit where it's due. Father Marco was right. As we write this, we have 72 days until we receive the sacrament of marriage and fulfill God's plan for us. My parents, our children, grandchildren, siblings, nieces, nephews, and friends will all be there to witness our union. We hope that our story encourages others to take their own unexpected journey of faith. We are praying for all couples in our position and wish every marriage many blessings. Do what is right and just.